Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Tonight, lightning does strike twice. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Barbara McKeel's shows always have the best music. Right? Like, Mary Jane had the right soundtrack, Girlfriends had bomb soundtracks, and now this. I cannot wait for them to release it. It's so wonderful.
I'm going to need a Spotify playlist like ASAP.
Oh, it's already up.
Oh. Well, then, I know that I'm working out to tonight. What's up, guys? We are so excited to be here for the Black Lightning series premiere. My name is Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OK Drew J. And I would not be here without my bomb panel. So what's up, guys?
Hey, guys. I'm Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Hey y'all, it's Portia Carter. You can find me on all social media at Portia Carter. Welcome to Black Lightning.
Woo! Yeah. I am so excited to finally, like, I feel like this has been forever. Like, I've been waiting for Black Lightning for, it feels like a century.
Really?
Yeah, I've been so excited about this, and we're finally here, and we start in a police station. We just action-packed just from the get-go. We see Jefferson Pierce chilling there with his daughter, and we're like, automatically you're like, what's going on? Like,
right.
And of course, we got Nisa, you know, fighting a good fight. What'd you guys think of that?
I love that her sister calls her Rosa Parks.
It gives Harriet Tubman.
I'm sorry, Harriet Tubman. It was just, and the fact that that annoys her so much. I really like the way they establish these relationships early on, that it's going to be obviously these three as the core, and kind of establishing those dynamics. You've got the wild child, you've got the freedom fighter, and you got a dad who's just trying to hold it all together. It's a really nice way to introduce the show.
I agree.
So I like the beginning part, not necessarily the scene. The scene was awesome. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking like, okay, what they got going on? Why are they in the police station? But the narrative, once baby girl.
Just as like lightning should ever appear to some men, hope to some men, fear.
Powerful. And I'm just like, what? And then baby girl, when she was telling her story, she's basically saying like foreshadowing what's to come. She's like, well, you know, nobody in our family knows what's going on, and not even myself. Like, she knows that something is up. Like, and it's all about to make sense. Her daddy is Black Lightning. Somebody else is Black Lightning's, you know, offspring. And, you know, she may be too. She was, like, foreshadowing everything within that, just that opening scene right there. Like, and I'm just like, she told us a lot, you know, sitting there on her phone. And I loved it.
Well, thank you, Falcon 6, he said, beautiful Black girl panel. Black is beautiful. Black is bold. And Black is powerful. And we agree.
Hey. I agree, too. Black girl magic.
Yeah, that type
of thing. Background magic. Like Black Lightning.
I like that we get to see, without like overly going into the story, we get little brief moments of like the past. Like, we see the Black Lightning warrant up in the police station. We see the Tobias White, and you instantly are like, okay, who's this dude? Because clearly, like, he looks like a bad dude. Like, he just looks,
and he looks weird. Yeah. Like, you know, one of those people, like, you know, like they up to something when they just look at you weird, when all their facial expressions is weird. It's just like, lighten up, you know?
Yeah, he looks like he's up to no good. And so we find out that he was Black Lightning 9 years ago, stopped, is now a principal.
Ooh, Garfield High and very Lean on Me way, but
yeah. It kind of makes me think, like, I feel like my principal, like, looking back, I feel like my principal had a very, like, superhero-esque build to him. Like,
what high school? I would love to go to this high school. Right? Can my principal look like this? That was amazing. He's so handsome.
Oh, Golf High School. Shout out to Mr. Noble.
I don't even remember my high school principal. I think I had like three different ones. So at that point,
mine was fine. That's why I remember
him. My high school principals were women, so. I didn't have that struggle.
Yes. So,
the struggle of the fine guy is my principle.
That's a struggle we could all have.
Yeah.
That's a struggle I don't mind having. Yeah. So we find out they have to go to this, like, event. True sister moment. Are you wearing my dress? Like, yes.
Like, you know.
I have a sister.
She didn't even say, like, I noticed your dress or nothing like that. She like, oh, okay, and here go another one. Like, yeah. Hey, girl.
Yeah, this, wear your other dress.
That you should have been wearing.
Before you got arrested, exactly. So they're headed to this fundraiser and they get pulled over, which as soon as you see the cop lights, you're like, all right.
I thought they was going to shoot them.
Really?
I thought this was about to be one of them police brutality type deals.
It was still police brutality, first of all. Like, just because I'm going to open the door, that does not give you a right to pull a gun on me.
This is actually really reminiscent. I wish I could remember the actor's name. He was in The Wire. He's a black cop in The Wire. But he had a similar story, and I think he told it in a TED Talk, where he's driving with his kids, he's got his music on, he gets pulled over, and I guess the officer's asking him to roll his window down, but he couldn't hear him, and drew a gun. He's got, I think they were his grandbabies, in the back seat. And I was just, in watching it, it felt like they had taken a lot of liberties from that story, because they pulled him out of the car, too. Same story of, like, well, who are you after? Oh, well, somebody just robbed a thing. What?
Yeah.
Like, the hell? No.
And of course, I'm going to have the kids in my getaway car.
Right.
In my Volvo.
Yeah. Wagon. Right.
But I think what was really interesting was that, who the hell is that lady in the back of the car that we never really readdress? Which I'm sure we will, eventually. She seems very important to the story. But I was curious. I was just hoping we'd get more information on her at some point.
What lady?
The Asian lady that was in the back.
She was a woman
her
in the back.
Her store just got robbed.
That's what they said.
Or a store that she was in just got robbed.
Her liquor store got robbed, yeah.
Yeah, and she was trying to identify the person who did it. That's why he threw him at the window, like, is this a guy? And as soon as she said no, he let him go. But
yeah, but I actually agree with Joelle, because personally, I grew up in the project, so a lot of stores get robbed. That doesn't mean the owner is now going to ride in the back of your car to find out the person who did it.
You
put them in a
weird
lineup. That right, was weird as hell.
Also,
to
you only have one car. I mean, logistically, like, you only have one car, so you can't put the criminal in the back seat with a civilian. Like, it's too weird. Also, she was very calm. She didn't seem like disheveled or like someone had just had a gun in her face. She was just like waiting.
She was down with what was going on.
Yeah. So I didn't think that she had been robbed. I think she's part of something larger, that they're looking for somebody. We don't know who yet. We'll see. Maybe. Mm. Maybe.
I'm like processing it now, because I literally didn't think of it like that, but now that you're saying, I'm like, oh, snap, like, maybe.
I didn't either, so that's what they'd be on.
How did you guys feel?
So it's like that.
How did you guys feel about the girls, like, and their reactions while they were inside of the car?
I'm Anissa. I'm filming. Well, I'm on both, actually. It depends on how I feel. Like, first of all, you pull my dad out the car. I'm going to try to, like, you know,
jump off
my
dad. I'm streaming live. Like, people will definitely see this.
I'm definitely, like, on her. I do that all the time. I ride the Metro all the time, and anytime that there's, like, you know, police on there with, like, the homeless or whatever, I instantly, like, have my phone up ready, because you just never know. Mm-hmm. And, like,
yeah,
you know, we gotta be out
so
here.
So you automatic reporter.
Yeah, because you just never know. And, I mean, today's day and age, that's a lot of the ways that we've not necessarily been able to see justice, but, like, you know, it's...
At least we know the truth.
At least we know the truth, exactly. Mm-hmm.
There has been light shine on the darkness.
Yeah. Ivan will like us to know this is based on the showrunner's own experience.
I think it's a lot of people's experience, yeah, unfortunately.
And just, yeah, it's just a shame. Like, even though watching, you feel like he's doing great. He's an Olympic gold medalist. He came back to the school to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Yet the color of his skin, like, the color of your skin is still something 400 years later, is still something that is just affecting everything. And it's a shame and sad, and it really needs to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it kind of just goes to show that you can have all the education, and you can have the nice clothes, and you can speak, you know, properly or whatever, and it can easily just come down to, oh, your skin color is not correct, so get out of the car.
Yeah, the whole situation was rude, but I definitely would have been like Jennifer. She was shining her flashlight back in their face.
Oh, yeah. I was like, you like it? Do you
agitating the cops is not a great way to go. I'm like, film, yes, you're well within your legal rights. Yeah. Taunting, you're asking for it.
But the what Jefferson and Nissa were talking about there, you know, Dr. King and Fannie Hammer, just like that. Like, you can tell they have a very intellectual, you know, they can go wits to wit with each other. Mm-hmm. But, like, what they were saying is true. Like, violence with violence just begets more violence either way. Mm-hmm. But we're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
And that statement is still true today in 2018.
Yeah.
True. So we make it to the fundraiser, and we get introduced to a couple of people. We meet Henderson, who is, like, the detective. And I don't know how I feel about him, to be honest. Like,
Henderson seems like he could be shifty.
Yeah.
Like, at first I'm like, yeah, I like you. But he's like, but let me do my job. And I'm like,
yeah, I wouldn't trust him.
Yeah.
I don't trust him.
See, the thing with Henderson is, like, I want to trust him. Like inherently, that style of character, like, the best friend on the police detective in a procedural show, like, that guy's helpful as hell, usually. Like, you go to your detective friends and skirt the rules, and they give you the information you need. It doesn't seem... Do you guys think Henderson knows he's Black Lightning, or no?
Doubt it.
I don't think he knows, but I think he kind of has an idea. But either way, he's on the opposite side of Black Lightning. He doesn't like him.
Yeah.
You know, see, he doesn't like the character. He doesn't like who he is. He doesn't like that, you know, he gonna come for his officers if need be. Like, he don't... So, it's just like, how can, you know, they be friends when they're on opposite sides of each other?
It'll be interesting if they just... To see if the writers go, like... Vendetta style, where it's like, okay, they're, as you explained, like, completely on opposite sides of the law, vigilante versus somebody who's working inside of the law. Or if we see them kind of start bending toward each other.
Because
Jefferson obviously has, you know, respect for the cops, but also, you know, as we hear later, he says, like, look, I would prefer not to have to call the cops in this situation. I don't want things to get messy. So I feel like maybe they could be working together sooner rather than later, but it'll be interesting to see.
I feel like it kind of reminds me of the Batman and who is the commissioner? And
Gordon.
I feel like it kind of feels like their dynamic where it's like they...
It depends on which version of Gordon, but totally.
Yeah, for sure.
There are certain versions of Gordon's where, like, oh my god, I love Batman. Thank god he's here because I can't do certain things I need to do. But there's a lot of comparisons between the city and Gotham, so I totally see what you're saying.
Yeah. And we also see... Who else did we meet? Lynn, the ex-wife, baddie.
Oh, that chemistry is
my God.
It is. I love it. Like, the way he looks at her and the way she looks back at him and gives him a smile and then their eye contact.
Lynn, what is the problem?
Right?
Like, what is for real the problem?
She divorced him for being Black Lightning.
Well, we know the reason why. However, we're still just saying.
It's been 9 damn years, girl. What is you waiting for?
That is a man.
Right?
Girl.
You keep it. But probably Lynn's like, no, I got that already. Like, I know that I have that, so I'm not really worried about it. I can go back to that anytime. what I really appreciate about that their introduction as a couple, it's cool to see a divorced couple that gets along.
Yeah.
I feel like there's...
And she just pop up at the house when she wants to. Like,
she's still there,
you know?
You know, and I think that's something we don't get to see a lot. Oftentimes, divorced couples are rabid and at their throats on TV. But there's a conscious uncoupling that happens a lot of times when you guys just want different things out of life, and I think that that's cool to see, and it makes for a much more interesting relationship dynamic to watch. Because they clearly want to be together, but now there'll be, like, all this unresolved stuff.
Oh, it's unresolved, all right. Mm. That ending, he was like, you ain't going nowhere.
We also meet Miss Foudy, who I think is, like, his secretary.
Slash crush. Not his crush, but she has a crush on him.
She has a crush on him.
Yeah,
definitely.
I was like, you need to chill.
She all up in his face, throwing her body on him, all types of stuff.
I was like, do not see Lynn.
She walks down the hallway and holds his arm.
She does.
Like, she don't have no personal space.
When they first came down, I thought that they were a couple. Then when he went over to his ex, I remembered reading that they were going to be separated. So I was like, oh, okay, so is he, like, dating someone? And I was like, oh, no, this girl is just really into him.
No, but the way, like, Lynn made it seem like maybe there was something going on, because she was like, you know, Kara's over there. I mean, but I'm still going to, like, do this and put my hands on you and, like, show her what it is.
I couldn't tell if it was, like, I see you looking at my man, girl, and it's cute, or if it was, like, you guys used to have something, but I know he doesn't take you too seriously. I live for drama. Like, I'm really excited to see people, like, above it all, and it's not, like, hip-hop Atlanta, and, like, people are having real relationships, but I wouldn't mind if it got a little messy later.
Yeah. Cress Williams, who plays Jefferson Pierce, says it's that the show itself is basically a Black family drama, and they just happen to be superheroes. So
I watched that interview.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to see some, like, oh, I need to see a little bit of that. Like, I can't... Come on.
But you know, it's also, again, this is the woman who brought us Being Mary Jane, so yeah. We're going to get the mess eventually.
I liked finding out that Anissa is a med student.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty cool. I'm wondering how we're going to see that come into play, especially like with her powers and all of that.
I look forward to the first Grey's Anatomy style blackout where she has to somehow use her powers and perform surgery at the same time.
Yeah, with like a paperclip.
Yes, MacGyver that shit.
Like, can we say it's like a la like Cosby Show for like a new generation? Like, they might be divorced, but that's a black family who still got together. One kid's a med student, one's a scholar athlete. Come on. And the comedy's on point, regardless.
Yeah. Can I just say that it's nice that it's like it's black representation, but it's dark skin black representation.
Ooh, like, yes.
Thank you.
But y'all are all light skin.
I know, which is why it's exciting. Yeah. Like, I recognize and stand for my like light skin privilege, and I think it's really awesome. Like, I advocate for seeing more dark skinned people on TV. It's ridiculous.
See, this is what I be talking about. We already got this whole black thing. Now we got to separate the black and the black. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, but you got to be like, there's a light skinned privilege. It's just like for some things.
That's
some
crazy people, because this is like my first time hearing this phrase. Oh, y'all light saying it?
Light skin privilege?
It's my first time hearing this phrase. So for me, it's just like, what?
I think if you feel like you look at a lot of the black leading ladies outside of Gabrielle Union, they all tend to have a very similar... Thank you. Yes, Antaraji.
And Carrie.
True.
Yeah. So, but look at the young girls. So look at like Zendaya. Yara. Shahidi. And then who's the other girl? Amandla. They all have the exact same look. Like that same curl pattern, same like cut, like roughly the same color skin. And they're all really great performers and they're beautiful and I don't think they don't deserve, but man, like, I just know there's a lot of other girls out here who could like also do these roles and do them justice. And it's cool to see them. It's cool to see them like being the attractive girls and not like we've seen in far too many like hip hop biopics where the dark skinned girls are like
ugly
whores and ugly and all this other kind of ridiculous BS. It's cool. It's amazing.
Because I'm a dark skinned girl, I feel honored that y'all are sitting here having this conversation.
Well, I think it's our responsibility to, like, as light-skinned women, I think it's our responsibility to help push up our dark-skinned sisters and to help fight for them because, like, in reality, really, we really are in the same boat, and it's stupid to let something as, like, vicious and obnoxious as colorism, like, separate us because, like, I feel like that is playing into our downfall as the black community. So if we can,
And as women.
Because we already fighting racism and white privilege. We don't need to fight colorism and light skin privilege either.
So if I can take my light skin privilege and help push up my darker skin black sisters, then that's what I'm going to do. And I'm so glad that we have a show where we have not one, not two, but like three and
four
counting, six. And still counting strong dark skin black women.
Yeah.
It's about time to keep it coming. Like, I'm hyped for it.
Rindy laughed. When you just like, I'm the only dark skin one on the panel.
Huh?
He was like, he put in parentheses what you said, but it was really funny. I just laughed out loud.
But y'all light skin.
But y'all light skin.
I love the dynamic between Jennifer and her sister, like when she catches her, you know, getting ready to go to the club or whatever. That's just such a true, like, do you guys have sisters?
To hear the term fast ass, like, on you,
Right? I'm like, this is so real because we say that stuff to people.
I haven't heard that since, like,
since I was little,
2000, not even joking, though, like... So to hear it, I'm with Joelle, like, that was just like, damn, you take me back, and I'm loving it at the same time.
Yes.
I mean, we don't hear it because we grown now, so we can't say it to us, but in high school, I used to hear all, I thought my middle name was Fast, okay? Because that's all they used to call me. Like, you ain't got no business right here with your Fast tip. I'm just like, well, dang. I used to stay in trouble, too, because I was fast.
Oh, I didn't. High school was fun. Like, the rumors people, like, just even made about me in high school, it was just, like, totally untrue, obviously, but I loved hearing it. I'm just like, y'all got some good imagination, because I didn't even think about that.
I feel like it showed us a really good job of exploring high school life, too. The idea that she's, like, not just hanging out, but getting ready in the bathroom at school, which is so
getting ready in the bathroom at school, at the club.
Her friend, like, no class at all, like, just brought out, like, girl, not that you can't, like, if you're, you know, about that lifestyle, go for it, but I just feel, she's fast. That's all, at least said it
already. It's just because, like, high school fashion isn't, like, actual fashion, it's just, like, when you're fast, it's just, like, what am I trying to show off? Like, there's no real, like, style to it. And so, seeing them in those outfits, and then seeing them go to that little club, brought back so many memories of like teen clubs on
Iowa. Oh, yes.
Shout out to the Key Club.
Shout out to the Skating Rink.
I can't even shout out mine because it was all illegal.
I will not shout out. But it happened. It went down.
We could probably talk forever about high school teen clubs, but we're going to keep on pushing today.
It's true. But like her sister covered for her. Like her sister was like, you go to your little party, whatever, but you know, home by 10:15 because I'm not getting busted for this.
At 10:15, she was all up in homeboy face.
No, but she was like, Harriet, let me be free. I was rolling. She's like, Harriet, let me be free. Come on, Harriet. Like, I do love the reference, but it's just like, you can take that so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we see her boot up with this little boy, Will.
Yeah.
Who starts flirting with her, and obviously that does not go well at all. They get dragged into a side room, and he tries to, like, pimp her off.
Okay, right? Several questions. One, where was her friend? Like, you know you're going to be eyes out for your girl.
Basically.
No, that's a bad friend. You dump that friend tomorrow. And it's your responsibility at the club to make sure I don't get dragged off by a crazy. That's it. That's why we go to the club together. Part two, her kicking his ass was amazing. I thought you were cool until I found out you were somebody else's bitch. I was like, I live for this
because
show.
I wasn't expecting her to go there.
Right. So much ass, these girls are incredible.
I wasn't expecting her to go there or say that to him. I'm just like, wow, because I was thinking of it like, nah, I'm not about to be, you know, hoeing in nobody's motel. Mm-hmm. But not only that, you somebody else's, like,
right?
Like, I just, it was a lot for me because I'm like, dang, she took it there. Like, that's a lot. I respect her because she know her worth. And then she knows, like, the character of a guy that she would rather be with, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And the way she played him off, she was like, dude, if you, I would have said I would have went to that bathroom, you would have been all to go. But, like, just because I'm stoned does not mean you need to get some. Like,
right.
She sent all the cards all perfectly, so you know who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
But then he called her an alternative black girl. And my question is, what the hell is an alternative black girl? Does that just mean music or our dynamic, how
it's
we speak?
Lazy, cis, straight, male, black version.
I was going to say, if I had a dollar for every time someone called me alternative black girl or I'm not like other black girl.
That's crazy.
I would make her be a billionaire.
Once again, that was my first time hearing that phrase, too.
Seriously?
When I tell y'all, I grew up around black people all my life. I was raised on the east side of Detroit, all black. I went to an all black high school, all of that, all black college, then came to LA. This is my first time being in a diverse area.
Okay.
So to hear phrases like this is just like, what?
See, I had the opposite experience. I grew up in an all-white community.
So people would call you alternative black girl?
No. So when I would go to the city to hang out with my cousins, there I was the alternative black girl. Because either I spoke white or, like, you know, the
like, we used
ring
to call people Oreo.
I got called an Oreo.
I told somebody I was a s'more. And you want to know why? I'm brown on the outside and I'm black and white on the inside. Leave me alone. You can't call me because I grew up in the projects. So I grew up around like predominantly black community. However, I liked horseback riding. I liked to go swimming. I liked archery. I liked traveling.
Is that stuff and black people don't like?
Apparently not in my town because I'm the only one who went and did it.
I mean, see, all that stuff sound fun. We just wouldn't know. I'm saying we just wouldn't know about it because we weren't exposed to it. We in real black neighborhoods.
Well, because like where I'm from, like there's like four different sets of projects, and then like only some people hardly ever even got out the state. Like, even you just go across the river and you're in Missouri, but like that's as far as you went.
Missouri.
Like you barely got out.
Cause
I'm from Illinois.
Long time.
I'm from Illinois, small town Illinois. However, like I like musicals. I'm a very white person.
The
black person.
What we like was high school.
And I talk proper when I went to other cities, and they're like, "Oh, you go to this school, but you sound like this." I'm not supposed to sound like I have some sense, like I'm educated.
Intelligence is not down to one race, y'all.
Thank you.
I have, you know, black women have the highest percentage of degrees.
What?
So speak on that.
Truth.
But since we just got real heated about it for a second.
We have a mild heat.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, no, then he has to even go even further. He was like, why do black girls have to have so much attitude? That's a really funny
word. Why you ask dumb question?
Right? Rain sign number one.
This whole conversation made me feel like we should have been on BHL.
Black Lives Matter.
This should have been a BHL show.
Girl. Oh. But being young and trying to date these men, it's a challenge, y'all. It is I feel for her. I'm like, you have so many more of these to go through.
There's so much more disappointment.
So many more just awful dudes to just
Well, the disappointment happened in 30 seconds. That's all I need. Give me a good 30 seconds to let me know that you ain't nothing so I can keep it pushing.
Yes. Pretty much. Like, but it takes time to develop, like, what your 30 seconds is. You know what I mean? Because at first you're like, oh, he's cute. Well, that's stupid, but, like, I'm sure that it's just all stupid. Okay. All right. I spent a week here. This was dumb. I gotta go find something else to do with my life.
I gotta keep it pushing. I love that the, like, the gang leader, well, not, we find out he's not actually a gang leader, but, you know, well, a gang general.
Ooh, Lala.
Yeah, Lala.
Yeah, I know him. No, that's my friend Will.
The actor? Or, like, your friend Will is like Lala.
No, Will Catlett is playing Lala. Lala.
That's amazing. And,
yeah. Oh, nice.
And when is Will going to come visit us and talk about...
That's what we're going to...
I'm going to hit him up.
Let me know. Let's go. I'm working on China, but obviously they're filming, so we have time.
I love that his name is Lala, because I was just like, that's so...
Weird.
Weird, but like... I mean, that's also some hood shit, though.
I guess it's better than Latavius.
Like, a soft name for, like, the toughest guy on the block is, like, a total, like...
I was gonna say, I know people named Coogie. I know people named, like, Bubba. I was like, Lala just seems real. I guess, like, it's better than Latavius, but, like, I'm just like, when I hear Lala, I'm thinking of, obviously, Lala Anthony, or...
Yeah, that's or, what, like, I think of.
I'm thinking of a girl, personally, and, like, it doesn't strike fear in me saying Lala. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Like, what you mean? Where's Lala? Oh, it's Lala.
But shout out to Jefferson for being a really protective dad and putting GPS on the phone. Did any of your parents have GPS?
Man, he don't have GPS. He got a tracking device.
Yeah. Like,
he hit that one button. Yes. Oh, she here.
Yeah.
Oh! That's what you got on your phone?
I need that for when I had kids, too.
Most parents nowadays have that on their phone. My parents, I grew up in a time when I didn't have a cell phone. I had a cell phone senior year of high school, but they would not have been able to find me. I would have just been gone.
When did you graduate high school?
2008. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's why you had it so late. Okay. I had a cell phone as soon as high school hit.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, I had a cell phone.
I went through a couple.
I don't think my parents aren't super technologically, like, savvy, so they didn't know about all of that. So I was like...
Oh, yeah, my parents were the same way. But me and my parents had more of a trusting relationship. Like, I got to stay out to 2 in the morning, and as long as they knew I was safe and where I was, we were good.
They had a tracking device, though.
But it was more like a trusting. Like, I think, like, the generations now, like, it's kind of like, not like a lack of trust, but a lack of trust. Because it's easier to lie now with technology than it is just, like, to your face sometimes, too. So, like, we had a nice, trusting relationship.
And Jennifer lied to everybody.
She lied to everybody. Right? She don't care.
She's not even good at it. She's not even slick with
and
it.
And then you don't think you about to get caught. Like, she don't know. That's because she don't know who her daddy is. That's what happened. She don't know who her daddy is. So she just didn't understand that this wasn't the right thing to do. Like, it takes the one who knows the least to get the family in trouble.
It's true. We can sleep all in the chains. The time. What do you guys think about Jefferson blowing up the cop car? Did he seem out of control of his powers at some point?
No, that was in control. Because at this point, I'm pissed as hell. I lost my daughter. I had to fight people. I didn't want to fight. My powers came back. And you just shocked me with some tasers. I am done. Okay.
Are you talking about the first or the second time?
When he blows the cop car.
He blows
car
up the car. The cop car.
Yeah, not when he freaks out and gets pulled over and kind of has his little
moment. Oh, when he take them and
take
their little
taser.
They taser back.
Mm-hmm. We're going to pluck those off me real quick.
Yeah, I didn't know he was about to do that to them. I would have expected him to, like, fly away or just go the other way or just surrender himself, you know, and let them know, like, I was just in here looking for my daughter. But the way he did that, I was like, oh, he mean business. Like, he didn't come to play with y'all. Don't tase me because I'm in here trying to save my daughter. Y'all ain't doing nothing. Y'all in here for the wrong people. Y'all trying to get me when these little hood niggas out here running around and they the ones shooting up the club.
I'm just like, I wasn't the first one to say the N-word today, so I'm really happy.
Oh, dang.
I mean, you can say it. You could. I was just like, I thought it was going to be me. I was waiting on it.
I think it's another, like, parallel to Batman again, where, like, Batman isn't the most, well liked, and, like, he doesn't do things in the most, like, ethical sense, you know? Like, we are like, Superman, The Flash, like, what, blah, blah, blah. They're very, like, Boy Scouty, and, like, Black Lightning clearly is not very, he's just like, what you're not gonna do is, you're not gonna tase me, you're not gonna come up and disrespect me and not catch these hands.
Right.
So, like, I'm like, I like that he, oh, yeah.
That is,
What about it?
That's interesting theory, though.
Was there a dash cam on the cop car? Oh,
He blew that mug up.
I mean, it's often as these cameras have glitches or suddenly just don't work or footage gets lost. Like, that's gone. Like, the police aren't going to let themselves be embarrassed like that.
Yeah. And I mean, it was kind of, it wasn't the best lighting either way. So they can't really, they just see a guy in like a suit and tie. So unless they have to go back to the previous, earlier night where there was a guy in a suit and tie, they almost arrested.
Oh, no, my thought was that's why he blew it up. I was wondering.
Oh, yeah. I thought you
This is Jeff from the I'm watching the show too, just so y'all know.
I mean, it probably would have been a good idea to do that, but I don't think he was thinking that far ahead. I think he was thinking, y'all about to move on my way.
I was gonna say, I think he's big mad. Like, yeah, you know, like, all right, I'm gonna wreck your car. So he obviously gets hurt and he goes and we meet Gambi, who's like,
oh my gosh,
another Batman parallel kind of.
It gave me Kingsman vibe. I'm not gonna lie.
Totally get Kingsman vibe.
Taylor shop. Come on now.
But you know what? I'm not mad about it. Especially because the suit is very important. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have like a scientific crew like Barry has.
Yeah.
Does Arrow make his own costumes?
I want to say
Arrow gets on my nerves. I don't even know.
Okay, we're not gonna talk about it. But it's cool. I also like that he has this kind of like very far removed mentor. Almost. It makes it for really interesting. So
yeah, that whole concept is wonderful.
One of my favorite aspects about JFK is that he was a guy who like only operated in circles. Mm. So like, he had like 8 circles and like non-intersecting. Like, he's like here I could be like a playboy, here I could be president, here I'm a husband, here I'm a father. Like, and he didn't ever let those things intermix or mingle. It's not the healthiest way to live your life, but it makes for very interesting people.
Yeah.
Because they hold a lot of secrets, and you definitely get that feeling with Jefferson. I was really excited to see, like, is his Alfred able to kind of blend into his family life, or is he kind of his eyes and ears on the street? Like, do they expand him to be sort of an oracle where he's getting, like, dash cam, like, street cam footage and stuff and helping him out in other ways, or is he strictly for the uniforms? We know the girls are going to get powers. Does he make... He has to be the one that makes their uniforms. And then what is that debate like? Because they're going to have a lot of opinions.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Anissa, she probably ain't going to care, but Jennifer want to be cute.
Yeah. Jennifer has a lot of thoughts.
Nate Milton in the chat says, I love this panel. Just like Black Lightning, they're authentic.
Hey, oh, thank you.
So thank you. We love you too.
We see him, you know, he's hurt, he gets patched up by Gambi, they have a conversation, and he's like, you need to come back. Jefferson's like, nah, fam. I'm good. I'm trying to get my lady back. Like,
and the only way I can do that is if I'm not Black Lightning.
She's bad, though, so I get it. I get wanting to put the suit away for your lady.
No, can we talk about
my
the fact
thing
that she
is, you put your whole life away, and you still don't have the girl. Like,
that's the thing. 9 years? This is right. A patient ass man.
She's playing.
Like, you got a good, like, 2 years max of, like, right. Like, I got a year to make up, and then, like, maybe we need time to readjust to these new people we've become in the past year of our separation.
Like, you put yourself up, though. Like, you ain't get on your knees and beg her, please, not to go. Like, I don't understand why he don't
he
have
play
her.
No Jodeci. Like,
Well,
it seemed to me, right. It seemed to me like this had been a conversation they had had multiple times. It wasn't like, you need to stop. It was like, I'm scared for you. You're still going out. Please stop this. I'm worried. Okay, you're still going out. Okay, I'm giving you an ultimatum. You went out again. I have to leave now. Yeah. This is no longer healthy for me and my sanity. Like, it's got to be a lot of mental strain to, like, have to physically patch somebody up and get them back on their feet in secret without anyone knowing,
and
day in and day out.
Yeah, and now the
kids
have seen
you. I mean, but you're gonna ride or die. You supposed to
like
do this.
But I don't want my kids to grow up without a daddy. Like, this is a lot of work and pressure.
They live with him.
Now, I mean, after he quit, because it sounds like she kicked him out of the house first. So that's another thing we got to figure out is, like, how did it come that the girls either chose to stay with him or, like, mama
wanted
to go out?
It's probably the weekend.
No, they're at the school. They were at school together.
Oh, they was.
But then my question is, I kind of felt she was out of line in saying that he's no better than a crackhead. That was way out of line for me.
Agree.
It was just totally...
Because crackheads ain't out here saving lives and kicking. They ain't out here, like, fighting violence on the street.
Well, but I protect a whole city by myself, okay? Crackhead, no.
I just thought she meant, which she was out of pocket, but I just thought she meant that he was, like, addicted to... like
fighting.
And he was willing to, like, risk his family, his, like, you know, himself. Oh,
and those characteristics as in risking things and, you know, and messing up your life. Yeah, okay.
That's what I thought, like, she meant. But it was mad disrespectful. And it was one of those things that you say, like, in an argument when you're just trying to, like...
You're trying to prove a point.
But I wouldn't have said that because that don't match.
It like, don't.
It goes too far, for sure.
It goes a little too far for me. But, like, can we talk about the fact that, like, you know, I'm the bad cop. I told her no social media for a month. And then she started unbuttoning the shirt. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay.
She was searching for wounds to make sure.
No, I get why, but I'm just like... Girl, you usually keep going too. After the second button.
Like one button open, and you're like, you know what? Screw morals. Like, I don't even care anymore. Like, we get like back together, babe.
Can we? Okay, first of all, I've loved Chris William ever since Living Single. And now that Living Single is now Hulu, praise Lord.
I'm into season four.
But two, however, can we talk about he has aged so amazing? Like, that body, though. Can we talk about
he did not. He really just, wow, he put in work. And I respect it. I respect the work.
Respect the process.
He had to look like something to be Black Lightning.
Ooh. The crackhead comment was real foul. I bet they never talked to Meteor Man like that. Really? You have to say Meteor Man? You have to take it back for that one. But okay.
We get to see Tobias have someone thrown in like a piranha. I was like, okay, that's real OG gangster. Like, that's some like... Sin City type, like, punishment.
As we look at kind of... So, this show doesn't exist in the CW universe.
Right.
In the established DC universe, it's already happening. So, you're right. So, in that Arrow, Flash, or Supergirl.
Which, thank you.
One. Ooh. Big points. Yeah. But it's interesting to see, like, I feel like I'm never really terrified of a villain. Even, like, Thrawn might have been the most, like, intimidating villain from... that universe. It's just like, it's pretty bad. Like, maybe the Earth ends.
Yeah.
But mostly it's so involved in Barry and what Barry's doing that it doesn't feel like it's happening outside of the city.
Yeah.
Whereas here, like, that guy? I'm not effing with that guy.
No.
Like, you gotta have some real cojones to be like, you know what? I square up with this dude harpooning people and throwing people in piranha tanks. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. But can we talk about what Roland Martin said on the TV? Which I just like... You have Roland Martin delivering news.
That's awesome.
But okay, TV One, get it. For CW. But he said, the curious question is, why is he seen as a vigilante? If why in other communities, they people with human like superpowers are all of a sudden heroes? Like, it's been 400 years and there's still a double standard. And then that's a question I have myself, because at that point, it's just like, when you have quote-unquote white superheroes, they're heroes, they're, you know, they're protectors, but now he's black, he has to be a vigilante because he's trying to protect his community.
That was a really great way of framing the world and how they... Because, like, you have to imagine... Like, we had a debate, like, could Batman be somebody other than a white Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
And I said there's no way he could be black. There's just a black man in an all-black suit, like, jumping out of the sky. Like, they're going to take that guy down so fast. There's no way. And so it was cool to see that they integrated that aspect into the show, certainly.
Yeah. So this earlier was not the last time we see Will. We see Will pop up onto the school. Not before we have a whole little moment with Jefferson telling his assistant or his secretary, like, we're not gonna have metal detectors and stuff. Like, I'm not about to treat this school like a jail, which I loved because, like,
it was great.
Literally, I can't think of, like, a school that I, like, in my neighborhood growing up that, like, didn't have metal detectors or didn't have
we had metal detectors in our high school.
Me too. Middle and high school.
And we had to have clear backpacks.
Yeah.
Oh, like, no, not that, though.
Just ridiculous. I'm like, it's Detroit. I'm just trying to come here to learn.
I mean, people still snuck in some knives somehow, so I'm trying to figure out how that happened, but okay.
But, so, yeah, Will, which, unfortunately, Will comes in, kind of ruins that whole, like, point that Jefferson's trying to make, and he takes the girls.
Well, doesn't he? I thought it was a really nice just, first of all, the conversation was nice, because it's true, like, metal detectors do have the potential to protect a school and the student body, which is important. But of course, we don't want to make our kids feel like they're, you know, part of the jail system before they, like, they haven't done anything. They're just trying to come to school to learn.
Yeah.
And Jefferson, by being able to stop it before any, like, the gun doesn't breach school grounds the first time, he's able to stop it, you know, he's able to talk the kid down from a ledge. Like, I think there's a lot of discussion happening about how could our schools potentially be run if we had people invested in them that cared.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on the other end of that because... Like, at the end of the day, once again, I grew up on the east side of Detroit, and I went to a high school in Detroit. We had metal detectors, and I turned out fine. And I'm serious. I mean, and I just feel like, I just feel like having protection in an area where you live in that makes sense, it all makes sense. So that means that students know that they're safe because they know the area that they live in. Mm-hmm. They know that, you know, there's a very low percentage of somebody coming up in there with a gun and shooting them all because of, you know, the area that they live in and because they have metal detectors. So I think it's all about, you know, perspective of your area. So if you live in some white suburb or something, you don't have metal detectors, okay, that's fine. Why would you ask me to put metal detectors in my school? But if you in a hood on the east side of Detroit and we got metal detectors, that makes a lot of sense. And it's better to protect your students and to make them feel safe as well, you know, because I feel safe. And well, nobody coming up in there with no guns.
Which is actually interesting because, you know, school shootings can happen at a much higher rate at white populated schools, as far as mass killers and gun violence.
Good points, girl. I mean, we had a whole knife fight happen in my school. I grew up in East St. Louis, so we only have one high school.
You grew up in the '30s, a knife fight?
No, seriously, like, dude pulled out a knife. Like,
were they like jabbing each other? Like stabbing each other?
Well, okay, I won't say knife fight. Well, one guy had a knife, one guy didn't, and that's how that knife fight ended.
Oh, okay. So it was more of a stabbing.
It was it was a lot of a stabbing.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
But still, and we had metal detectors.
Like blood in the hallway stabbing?
Yeah.
That's traumatizing.
I mean, it's people say that a lot, and I'm just like, it's kind of where I grew up. Maybe I'm desensitized, and I get it, and I'm okay with it. Like, I'm not that traumatized by it, because I saw it, and I'm over it, and I turned out well, I like to say. So at that point,
just like me,
yeah, we're good.
Do you guys think you're the exception or the rule, though?
I've always been different, so I'm hoping I'm the exception. I don't know if that makes me better or for worse, but I mean, I've never thought of things the same way as other people where I grew up. I wanted to be like Jefferson. I wanted to get out, but I also wanted to come back to my hometown and do something to make it better, mm-hmm. to bring more hope into my town and show the world that we're more than just athletes to go win gold medals. Mm-hmm. We are people who love academics just as well as we, obviously, I chose media, but still, I was in academics too. So I'm like, there's more to us than just, you know, how far we can run, how right. fast we can run, how much we can play, how many state championships of football we can win.
Right.
What do you guys think of Black Lightning's new suit?
Yes.
He obviously has to go back to the NBA after the girls get
it. It needs to be bulletproof. What they doing?
I thought it was kind of bulletproof.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah. He got the bullet.
He stopped the bullet.
Like, but it still cut him. It still cut him because at the end when he was in the shower, he was still bleeding. It was coming out.
I thought that's from the same spot from earlier.
Such in the first fight. Then he gets the new suit. Then at the new suit, he goes to the motel, gets shot by a gun, and he's able, the suit stops it, and he holds up the, like, melted, dented in bullet. I like the suit. I like the also when his tailor sends him the video of the old man talking about him, and he's like, "Look, it's not all bad. Look at what you did. This guy got to see, you know,
the first
black
ugly.
President and his grandchildren and all this other great stuff." One, I really liked the way that led in, but two, I liked that that guy said his original suit looked like Parliament, and he was so offended by that. He's like, what? Parliament? It did a little, bro. It's okay.
He was bald head. The suit was ugly. It's just...
It was something like out of, like, some Teen Titan.
I kind of thing. Like, if I don't know if you guys watched Luke Cage on Netflix, but they had the same moment with Luke Cage when he wears his original costume. He's like, I look ridiculous in this. And I kind of like that we pay homage to the original costumes from the comic books. It's nice.
Yeah.
Ivan wants us to know that Oliver on Arrow is also called a vigilante, so it isn't something new. And we're not saying it is, but also, remember, technically, we're not in the Arrowverse. So the Arrowverse technically does not exist on Black Lightning.
It's true.
So, in the world that we live in, the double standards still apply.
And also, with the we have very few black superheroes. Very few.
Yes.
And so, in the grand scheme of things, like, the one big black superhero we have is the vigilante. Out of all of these white superheroes that are superheroes, you know, who don't have the most ethical, like, means of doing things, like, we're going to call the one black superhero that's on TV right now the vigilante.
Yeah, it's weird because I come from a comic book space. So in comic books, like, Batman is frequently referred to as a vigilante.
Yeah.
But I felt that the line wasn't meant to describe IRL. It's not meant to describe the real world. I think it was meant to help define and shape the world that we live in now.
Yeah.
Inside of Black Lightning.
I agree. So I personally think that this fight scene, I'm always very interested to see the first fight scene of, like, a superhero show, because I feel like it tells us a lot about, one, the budget. I'm not going to say names, but there have been other shows where the first fight scene was a little corny, and luckily throughout the seasons they got better. But they spent all the coin on Black Lightning. How did you guys feel about the first scene? I thought it was fire.
I thought it was lit. I was telling you before we got in here, my favorite part, he was like, he got shot by the bullet, and he takes the bullet fragment and tosses it, and he's like, you should at least let a brother say something heroically clever first. Like, that right there, that made the whole pilot for me, that one line. I'm just like, I praise you for your work right now, because that was lit.
I like that he punished him by taking his car.
Yeah.
It was a very dad moment inside of a superhero costume kind of thing. Of like, yeah, oh, it was a nice car. And it's also, again, shows the way Black Lightning wants to handle his community, because we see when he's dealing with Lala and the little boy earlier in the cafeteria, or cafe, or wherever they're at, they say one line that's identical. Like, Jefferson says it earlier, then Lala repeats it in that scene, and they're talking about, you know, growing up and expectations that we have for you and what we expect you to do in the real world. And all these kids are treated kind of on Lala's side with an iron fist. Like, you're going to do what I say. I was kind of reminded of Kendrick Lamar's whole new album, where he talks a lot about, like, the kind of abuses you can suffer in a black household. And I like that we're kind of having these conversations, because there's something to what Lala is saying. Like, you wanted to lay up and play video games all day when you had a job to do. Like, that's not acceptable. But I also feel like Lala crossed the line. I liked the way Jefferson kind of continuously handles the children that he interacts with. Because even this punk kid who, like, could potentially sell a girl into prostitution, which is just ridiculous, so he's still a child, which is so weird to think about, too.
And, like, they start that young, too, not to be... Just to be real, they start them that young. And it's just it's a shame, just gangs in general, that's how they start. They get them young, and they rise up to when they're teenagers and adults, if they live that long.
Well, it sounds like he even cornered his cousin, because he was like, you know, I'm the one who got you a lawyer in jail. I'm the one who made sure your commissary was full, so you owe me now.
Mm-hmm. Like, you might be family, but... money's still important.
Because he still needs his money. But the whole thing with the little boy, I was... kind of sad, because I see stuff like that, like, especially growing up in the black community. That's how they, you know, talk to kids. That's how we're raised, in a sense, like, with the strong hand. Like, there's not many people willing to come and mentor and groom and let you know what's right from wrong in a very good manner. It's always in comparison to the white people, or in comparison to the white world, or what you ain't gonna get outside of where you at, you know. And it's always in a negative aspect. Like, I want somebody to teach me with positivity, somebody who to teach me and uplift me, not teach me and then tear me down, all in the same sense. And I feel like that's what he was doing to the little boy, and it kind of hurt my heart, because that's the kind of world I grew up in, and I know it to be true. And they had that scene because there's so many other people going through stuff like that. So for them to kind of bring light to stuff that I've witnessed in my life was a real big thing for me, and I appreciated that.
I think a lot of the times we see scenes like that that don't have any context, where it's just like an adult being very cruel to a child.
But that had a lot of context.
And it was beautiful, and it was wonderful. I really, because to me, like, Lala, life didn't turn out great for Lala. Like, he's
clearly,
he's in charge, he's got some money or whatever, but, like, he's not Jefferson. Like, he calls Jefferson, like, a black Jesus later in the show. And I think that because the world has treated him hard, like, that's how he feels that he can prepare the kids in his circle for the world out there. It's like, I have to be, because things I would hear my grandfather say all the time, I have to be three times as hard on you so that when you go out to the real world, you can be prepared for what's going to be out there. Not to say that it's right or to justify it in any way, because I don't think it is, but I do see, I'm glad that if you're going to portray that side, that it's done in a way that is human and real and authentic.
See, the thing with that is, because I grew up like that, and people used to tell me that, I'm going to be three times harder on you because, you know, they ain't going to... That made me defensive. It didn't make me strong in my mindset. It made me go to bat with anybody that felt like they was gonna play me like I'm dumb. You know? And that gives, it just does things to people differently.
We actually gotta start wrapping up, because we're close to ending the show. But what did you guys think of her getting her powers?
That was dope.
Do you think it's going to come into full fruition in the next episode? Or, like, when do you think we're going
to get it? I was kind of shocked that it happened so fast. First of all, somebody going to go in that bathroom and be like, what happened to the sink?
So
at the end of the day, they going to know something's up. Because ain't nobody just break that sink. Like, ain't nobody come and saw that mug. Something happened, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just excited because it's like, it's going to be like a team of three. Like, you know, like, I'm just excited for this. To see a black woman with superpowers,
yeah,
is always amazing.
You guys have predictions for next week?
I think both the girls have their powers by the end of episode 2, and I don't think that they're going to share that with Dad right away. I don't know how they're going to get away with it with a broken sink, because you would have to explain that to black parents. So you can't
wear it around. You really can't.
They can't be like, oh, well, that's weird. Let's just fix that. Like, you have to answer some questions. But I think that they do. The girls have each other's back pretty solidly. So it'll be interesting to see how they talk about their powers to one another. And then Jefferson also says at the end of this episode, when he's talking to, oh gosh, his ex.
Lynn,
thank you. That's my mom's name. I should remember that. He's talking to Lynn, and he says, you know, this, we have to continue to talk about this, because now I've gone back and been Black Lightning, and I think for him there's some contradiction in, like, I can't save my girls and not save the rest of the city. Like, I can't be Black Lightning just for us. So we should see how Lynn takes that, because I have a feeling he's going to be in the suit almost immediately next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to get back together.
I kind of want to see a little bit more of his backstory, because obviously the trauma from the night kind of triggered her power. So I'm wondering if that, like, if they're going to show that that's how his power is triggered. I'm interested to see how it lines up with the comics.
Well, it derives from emotions, so. Yeah. Of course.
Somebody said, I broke a handheld mirror when I was 12. My pops damn near put me on a trial.
Yeah, black parents don't play.
Black parents, yeah, you gonna have to do some type of explaining. Because I'm sorry, you broke it in half and there's water now coming. I need explanations. I want to see Jennifer get her powers and how she deals with it. Because I feel like she would have a more difficult time with her powers.
She's still in high school
and that she's still a little immature in the way she goes about dealing with things, and that's going to come into play, definitely. I want to see Tobias a little bit. I want to see that backstory. I want to see
Tobias with the harpoon. Some sickening stuff.
Insane.
Like, that's Boardwalk Empire levels of, like, torture and corruption, and he's
like reeling him in.
Oh man, I love his look. He is so intimidating. I really can't wait to see what his master plan is.
He's like, dude, like, I killed Black Lightning, and now whatever you did brought him back. So who would I need to kill to get this across to you so you understand what we're talking about today?
Yeah.
It was kind of calm but insane at the same time.
It's the best kind of
villain. He deserved it. I hope to see one of them take Lala out. I believe it's probably going to be Anissa. It may not even happen the second episode, but I do believe that one of them going to take him out.
Well, I gotta go.
And I just want them to get back together.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because she knew, like, him going out.
Yeah.
To get, like, I'm going to get our, like, first of all, can we talk about that deepening voice he used when he was like, I'm going to get our girls? That was kind of sexy. I'm going to mention that. However, but, like, yeah, they do have to have a talk, like you said, because I might have to do this to get our daughters back, and you accepted it. But you can't accept it for one part and not accept it for the whole entire thing. So we really need to, like, get a grasp.
I am definitely excited to see, like, where the season goes. I think this is an amazing kickoff to this whole franchise, and I'm so incredibly hyped for it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in with us. That had me shook. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. We are so excited to be together. We'll see you guys next week. My name is Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ.
Hey guys, you find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram, and Love Shay Butt on Snapchat.
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique. Every week at blackgirlnerds.com. This Friday on Collider's Movie Talk, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Yeah, sure, why not? And then I have a new podcast coming up called Listen Up Ashholes, which is a recap of The Good Place with all black women, because we're just freakishly obsessed with it. So check it out.
Hey y'all, it's Portia Carter. Thank y'all so much for watching. You can find me everywhere at Portia Carter.
Bye guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.